Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
What scares you?
Ah! Is it seeing a ghost? Is it burning your toast? Is it meeting a witch? Is it having an itch? Is it seeing a ghoul? Is it going to school?
What scares you? What scares you?
Riding a broom? Cleaning your room? Is it seeing a snake?
Is it baking a cake?
Having a curse?
Or seeing the nurse?
What scares you? What scares you?
Is it seeing a vampire?
Having a flat tire?
Watching a mystery?
Blunting your history?
Losing your tooth?
Telling the truth? Food radiation?
Unpaid vacation? Is it getting a booster?
Petting the rooster?
Wearing new shoes? Watching the news? Eating a veggie?
Getting a wedgie?
What scares you? What scares you?
Is it hearing?
You're fired!
Getting retired?
Receiving spam?
Being called ma'am?
Losing your shirt?
Missing dessert?
Denting your fender?
Changing your gender?
It ain't just that Halloween. I get scared all in between.
But what scares you? Boom!
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. It's Halloween, and we've got some wonderful music that we're going to be sharing with you today. We've got Dr. Elmo, and he's been known for so many things, but he just recently came out with all of these wild and wacky pieces of music. And we're going to be sharing them with you during the show today, because it's always fun to be able to have something lighthearted and different to be able to share with you. And we've even got special effects of crackling phone lines, so it's in perfect synchronization with this wonderful holiday of Halloween. Donna Sebo here. Dr. Elmo, welcome to the show.
Great to be on with you, Donna.
Well, it's always so much fun when I have you on the air, and I was so surprised when I found out about your Halloween CD. In fact, we're going to be taking our copy over to some friends this evening so that they can enjoy some of the wild and wacky things that you have done. What made you decide to do Halloween? How did this all come about?
Well, I decided with the economy the way it is now, maybe I should start working 2 months out of the year instead of just one.
Oh, gee, life's tough. Now, you have had quite a career. Give us a little bit of your background before you got into the creative design of wild and wacky CDs.
Well, I was raised on a farm in Kentucky, and I used to ride horses, and we used to have tobacco as well. And as a teenager, I was an exercise boy for the horse Needles, who won the Kentucky Derby and the Belmont. And then, so I wanted to become a veterinarian because I got too big to be a jockey. And so I became a veterinarian and worked on the racetrack for a while, and then later on started playing and singing music. I just wanted to play the banjo as a hobby and never thought I would ever, you know, make a living at it or even mm-hmm. make anything at it at all. I just did it for fun. And so I started writing funny songs, and just because every time I sang a serious song, people would say, you know, they'd start laughing a little bit, and I could tell that they were more laughing at me than with me, so I thought maybe I should go with the flow and start doing funny songs.
Well, you're right. I mean, you don't have a Perry Como voice, let's be honest.
That's for sure.
And my husband, he said, oh my goodness, he was listening because I was going through your CD for Halloween, and I was just having a blast listening to the music, and he said, are you for real? You're listening to this stuff? I said, yes, I am, and I'm having a good time.
There have been a lot of people of your husband's same frame of mind when they hear me sing.
That's because his passion is music.
All
well,
right.
Halloween. Now, here we've got this holiday, which is so absolutely electric. It's got so much history to it. Started over in Europe. There's all kinds of legends about it. But you really have a good sense of humor regarding this. And we're going to, again, we're going to be playing some songs in a little bit of time. But what helped you get motivated with your lyrics?
Well, I have a friend of mine named Rita Abrams, who I usually write most of my songs with. And I began to, I just called her up and said, you know, Sony BMG record company called us and said that they would like to get me to do a Halloween album. And I thought that would be, the, you know, a chance of a lifetime to get on that record company. I mean, I was already on it, but, you know, usually they just like to get the younger people to do stuff.
Oh, sure.
So anyway, so I called up my friend and said, you know, maybe we can do some Halloween songs. And at the time, I thought, wow, I couldn't even think of one way we'd do other than the Monster Mash. But we started getting together and writing songs, and the first one we wrote was one called Redneck Dracula, and we thought, wouldn't it be great to scare Dracula a little bit by putting him in a redneck bar in Kentucky and confront him with a litany of American horrors like WrestleMania, NASCAR, gun racks, and chicken fried steak.
We're going to be playing that later on, too. That is just a hoot. And what? So you put it all together. Now, that was the very first one.
Yes. And then, well, we were just looking for things to write about Halloween. And then we did one called Texas Chainsaw Halloween, which is the scariest song on there and the one that most people seem to like the best. And that, you know, that was kind of a takeoff on the Texas
Chainsaw
Halloween
Massacre. Say that one five times fast. Yes, right.
Yeah, I mean, so we did that one, and then we did another one called The Haunted Hoedown. It's kind of like going on a hayride through a lot of weird things for Halloween. And then we did another one called Happy Halloween Anniversary, about this man who he and his wife were celebrating when they met on Halloween, and he remembers when she was at a costume party and covered with blood.
Yeah.
And then one of the other ones, one of my favorites on there is called The Witch and the Toad. A guy goes to the Halloween party, and he's dressed up like a toad, and he meets this beautiful girl there who's dressed like a witch. And then he follows her all around the party at night. Finally, she goes out on the veranda, and he's been following her all the time. So she turns around and gives him a kiss. And instead of feeling warm, he feels this big chill go through him. And then right at the end, it turns out that she was a real witch and turned him into a real toad.
That's a Halloween story for those that really have affectionate thoughts about certain people.
Yes.
Well, you had a lot of fun with it, and it really has been something that's made a great difference. Now, I want people to know that you are renowned for your original song, one of which so many people know. In fact, I mentioned that I had, when I got your CD in, I mentioned to the people at the post office that I see on a regular basis because I get books all the time and all kinds of material, and that I had gotten something from you, and they said, oh, yes, I remember. That's Grandma Got Run Over by the Reindeer. And so when you did this, you did another rendition for Halloween, which we will be playing later on in the show. But I was just so surprised. Here was someone in the post office that I was talking to, and they had immediate identification. You've really touched the lives of millions of people, haven't you?
Oh, thank you, Donna. That's so nice of you to say. Well, I'm very flattered that someone even at the post office had heard it.
Well, it's made a difference to them, and they just love the music. They really do.
Yeah, that's great. I thought maybe they might have seen my picture up on the post office wall, and that's why how they knew me.
Not necessarily so. Now, with what, it's everything that you're doing, are you on tour now? Are you starting on tour?
Yes, we're getting ready to. I usually play all year long with my bluegrass band, but now we're starting to line up all of our Christmas gigs. And so we usually go on tour maybe towards the end of November.
Towards the end of November.
Yeah,
where do your tours take you?
Usually all over the country. Last year I toured with Brenda Lee in New York. We went to all the towns in Upper New York and New York City. So, you know, it seems like every year it's a different place.
Well, I think it's wonderful. And Brenda Lee is just a doll. So I am sure with her sense of humor and with your wacky lyrics, you probably just had an absolutely phenomenal time. And so did the audiences that were listening to you. This is Donna Siebel. And, yes, this is Halloween. And we've got sort of an odd hour today. It was an open mic hour, and then I found that I was going to be able to have Dr. Elmo on the show with me. Now, towards the bottom of the hour, we will be giving out some information, or maybe even before the bottom of the hour, about how you can get in touch with him. In fact, why don't we do that now, Dr. Elmo? Why don't we give out some information about your website and where people can go to? Because you've got MP3s, I think, on your site where there's little short excerpts. If they hear... they like what they hear today, they're going to be able to hear more.
Sure. You can go to my website, which is D-R-E-L-M-O, or Dr. Elmo without the period, or Drelmo, if you will, .com. And you can download songs there, and it'll take you right to the place where all my Halloween songs are.
Well, we're going to play part of a piece that you've got. It's called The Scariest Thing I'll Ever Do. And that's item number 3 on your CD. And we're just going to play a little bit over a minute of it so that we can just get a taste of some of the goodies. And then we will be playing a little bit about Redneck Dracula and Grandma Just Rode Over the Broomstick and all kinds of other good things. So we'll be chatting about more things with Dr. Elmo in just a minute. But meanwhile, we're going to be hearing The Scariest Thing I'll Ever Do.
From the moment that I spied her in her long black dress, my emotion for her potion had no end. She was the most bewitching wizard as she grabbed me by my gizzard, and I'll never lead a normal life again. The scariest thing I'll ever do in all my life,
la, 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 la,
will be to ask her if she'd like to be my wife,
la, la, la.
Which is more frightening, I can't guess, if she says no or she says
yeah.
The scariest thing I'll ever do, I'll do tonight. When she led me on a tour around her little lair, I was enchanted by her prowess with a broom. But when her quirky little cackle started raising up my hackles, I began to ponder my impending doom. The scariest thing I'll ever do in all my life will be to ask her if she'd like to be my wife. You know, I've noticed that her hiney is a little Frankensteiny.
Some more wonderful, wacky things to share, and we'll be playing the Redneck Dracula, and you'll hear the whole musical piece. Dr. Elmo, Halloween is such a fascinating, fun holiday. What's on your agenda, and also, what has been the most unique experience you've ever had with Halloween?
Well, once when we were kids, it was Halloween, and we were going, I lived up in New Jersey then, and we were all running around in this old house that it was fortunately during the daytime. And we were looking around this old house that we all thought was haunted, and we were always afraid to get close to it. So on Halloween, we thought, oh, we'll go right in it. And the house was completely broken down and dilapidated. And then when we got in there, we looked and the whole floor was missing, and we looked down there and there was actually a real skeleton down there. Oh my God, we were so scared. We never wanted to go back to that house again. And, but, and we told them, and they actually came and got it out.
Oh, for heaven's sake, did they figure out who it actually was?
I don't know if they did it. They never did. It had been there for years.
Oh, for heaven's sake. Here's a bunch of kids. What
yeah.
a good story. That's really good.
Yeah,
especially for Halloween. So that's your scariest experience that you can recall.
It really was. I still think about it now. That, you know, we'd never even thought about anybody being dead before. And suddenly we looked down there and we kept looking and looking. And first we thought it was just a, you know, somebody just put it down there. And then we realized that it was real.
Amazing. Boy, wouldn't that make a good story if you could have found out more details. Oh,
yes.
It's a good story just as it is, but just embellishing it. Well, with Halloween now, here you've got, I mean, you've had a tremendous success relative to your Christmas music, and we'll be having you on again in December. You've done Halloween, and then you went and did something else. You did something regarding the IRS.
Yes, I did. I had the song called Don't Mess with the IRS that, you know, every year at tax time, I think the IRS people really like it, too, because it sort of sends the message not to try and cheat on your taxes.
Well, you have got so many fun things that you've done. Is there another project that's in the wind?
Oh, yes. Well, I'm working on a Christmas show now. There's a friend of mine that does a Johnny Cash tribute show, and he's very popular. And so we're thinking about doing a Christmas show together. We haven't figured out exactly how it's going to work, but we're working on it now.
Oh, my goodness.
So we would, you know, tour together next year in 2009.
Because you've had such a level of success with music, which in your wildest dreams you never really thought would go anywhere, what words of wisdom would you have for someone that would just love to be able to create something like you've done? Now, not copy you, because you're one
yeah.
of a kind. But what would you say to someone that would just earnestly yearn to be able to make their mark with music?
Well, just sticking with it means a lot. The most people who fail at music are people who expect a lot, and sometimes they get a little early success, and then if they don't stay successful, you know, on a large scale, they stop and then give it up and move to something else. But I would say in my career, I never expected to be successful in music. But, you know, as I began to get success, it has come up and down over my entire career. But you have to stay with it. And even if you have to take a day job during the meantime, you know, keep doing the thing that you love to do. And most of the time, eventually, if you love doing it, and you'll learn how to do it well enough that you can make a living at it.
I agree with you, and I think that those are very wise words. Also, you're a man that doesn't like to sit still. I understand you do marathons.
I do.
Now, how many of those do you do a year?
Well, usually, you know, I've done a marathon the last couple of years. I've been running for a while, but I did my first marathon when I turned 70. I thought if I wait too long, I might be too old to do a marathon, but I did a marathon. I did the New York Marathon for the last couple of years, and I hope that I, you know, it's really great exercise, and it's really a wonderful achievement to do. And I just recently went to Las Vegas, where they had the Senior Olympics. It's just like the Olympics, except it's for people that are over 50 years old, and they have age divisions, and I won a few medals in my age division there.
I understand you came in ninth, or did you do better?
In New York, I came in ninth, and when I went to Las Vegas recently, I won two bronze medals and a silver and a gold in the 800 meter.
Wow. Hey, folks, this guy not only is successful writing music at 70, decided he was going to run marathons. You're like Jack LaLanne. He's still going at 95, for heaven's sake.
I wish. I got a long ways to go to be like Jack, for sure, but I'm going to try and work on it.
Well, this is just fabulous. Now, we're going to be playing the Redneck Dracula. Dr. Elmo, I want you to quickly give out your website one more time.
It's Dr. Elmo, just Drelmo, or Drelmo.com.
All right, we've got it. And it's been so nice having you on the air. We're going to close out here by going with Redneck Dracula. Thank you for being my guest today. I know your schedule's a busy one, and we'll be talking to you again in December.
Donna, you're wonderful to be on with.
Thank you. Dr. Elmo, Redneck Dracula, and we'll be back after the song. So here it comes.
I was lying in my casket late one night when I thought I'd go out for a little bite. So I prowled around the empty street till I heard a wild and twangy beat. I shuffled in and gave a yell. Allow me to introduce myself.
Redneck Jack.
Direct from Transylvania.
Redneck Jack.
Kentucky, not Romania.
Redneck Jack.
Watch me now. The beer was flowing and the joint was buzzing. And a big-haired gal who resembled my cousin was over in the corner trying to score with my old grave-robbing pal Igor. He introduced me to a tasty trucker miss. I said, what's a nice ghoul like you doing in a place like this? Direct from Transylvania. I got the WrestleMania.
Redneck Jack is back and gonna track you down.
Igor, that mirror ball is confusing me. These jeans are too tight. I drank her blood till I was full. Then lost it all on the mechanical bull. So she left me for Bubba, and they're having a bash, talking NASCAR and trailer trash.
Rave it up, Mama.
So I says to myself, it's no great loss. Their veins had no blood, just barbecue sauce. Direct from Transylvania. I got the WrestleMania. Her varicose veins.
Then tied me to your truck.
She drove a chicken fried steak through my heart. Transylvania truck stop. I'm getting off here.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. It's an open mic day, and we've got some fun music, Dr. Elmo's music. We're going to be playing through the hour just before breaks, etc. But meanwhile, hey, phone lines are open. Give me a buzz if you'd like to call in and chat with me today. It's Halloween. It's a fun day. It's going to be a wacky hour, and I love it that way. 877-876-5227. That's the U.S. number, 877-876-5227. Also, we have, for Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And we also have a direct line of 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. Halloween. It's a holiday that has just so many wonderful aspects to it. And I know there are some people that like to grumble and mumble about it, but I think it's a great opportunity to wear a costume, and it's something that's so much fun. But more than that, there is a lot of history that goes on behind Halloween. And, you know, the carved pumpkin that we are so enamored of, I mean, my goodness, they sell pumpkins, millions of them, right, for this holiday alone. Of course, pumpkin is always great for pies and other good things that we like to eat. But in our country, in America, the carved pumpkin, which is lit by a candle inside, is one of the most distinctive symbols that we associate with this holiday. And the typical term that is used is a jack-o'-lantern. Now, these originated in Europe. The very first lanterns that were ever designed were designed from a turnip or a rutabaga. That's right. In Europe, that's what they were. Now, they believed that at that time that the head was the most powerful part of the body. Why? Because it contained one's spirit and also one's knowledge. So the Celts used the head of the vegetable to frighten off any superstitions or any negative that they considered might be lurking around. Now, the name jack-o'-lantern was traced back by historians to an Irish legend about a real odd character. His name was Stingy Jack. Now, this was a guy who was rather greedy, heavy-duty gambler. He was a hard-drinking guy. He was a farmer. And what he did, according to the legend, is he tricked the devil into climbing a tree and trapped him by carving a cross into the tree trunk. Now, in revenge, the devil placed a curse on old Jack, condemning him to forever wander the earth at night with the only light he had, a candle inside of a hollowed turnip. So, that is how this evolved. And, of course, these stories came from Europe. Now, here in this country, the carving of pumpkins, well, we didn't have a whole bunch of them available, but people, when they found the pumpkins, really served the purpose much better than a turnip. That's when it became adopted here in this nation, and people like to do all kinds of faces with them, and there are so many tools now that you can work with to carve pumpkins and to create your wonderful, wonderful image that you want to be put out there. And you can even get pumpkins where you don't have to buy a real one anymore. You can get them with all kinds of designs, and they're readily available. But the tradition of carving the pumpkins is known to have preceded the great famine period of Irish immigration. So the carved pumpkin here in the United States was associated with harvest time, and it didn't specifically become associated with Halloween until the mid to late 19th century. So it's just fascinating when you go into some of this history here. There's so much that goes on that creates our traditions. And they go back so far. You know, in December, we're going to be having some wonderful programming about Egypt. And so many of the things that we've incorporated into our traditions of today go all the way back to that time frame. Thousands of years. So it's amazing how the human psyche will carry traditions forward one way or the other because they like them so much. No matter what comes about or what people will think that they should or shouldn't do, we still manage with our own unique way of being able to design and create things. We do things our own special way, and so we will keep it going on as long as we can. Now, yesterday I meant to give you a recipe about creepy crawler pizzas. Yes, and I didn't get to it. I got sidetracked, but we'll be able to share that today. It's a real good thing if you're trying to figure out something at the last minute to work out for your kids or for, you know, a party you might be going to. You want something that's fun and wacky. This is so easy, but it really gives that sort of ghoulish look that you might want to have with your pizza, depending on how you feel about it. I also wanted to share something today with you, and I know we're going to be going into a break. And remember, you can give me a call if you'd like to chat with me today. I'd be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. The telephone number to call into is 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. I wanted to share some information with you about acupressure. Now, I know that you know all about acupuncture, and you've probably worked with acupressure yourself without realizing what you're doing. But there are so many points on the meridians of the body that when you become aware of them and you want to alleviate some discomfort, these little tips really can make a difference. So we're going to be taking a break, and when we come back again, give me a call if you'd like to chat. A good day for me to light up your life with a little bit of insight, as it always is on the Donna Siebel Show. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. We're coming right back. Don't go away.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717. TTAP.com.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. Open mic here. We have telephone lines open, 877-876-5227. If you've never called into the show before, all you need to do is pick up that telephone. I want from you your first name or initial, and then I'm, of course, want to know where you're calling in from. Then I am happy to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. 877-876-5227, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Caitlin Powers had a neat little poem. She said, when witches go riding and black cats are seen, the moon laughs and whispers, it's nearly Halloween. So that's one, and then I've got something else here I'm going to share with you. But I was going to talk to you about acupressure, really. This is something that did not really come into the forefront of attention in the United States until about 1970. And what brought the knowledge of acupressure into the United States? Well, it was due to President Nixon when he went to China. Now, that doesn't mean that people here, there were a few individuals that knew about it, but it really didn't make the media blip the way it did after President Nixon went to China. And, of course, in China, they have thousands of years of knowledge and understanding regarding this. So these little things that I'm going to be mentioning on the air, they're just little suggestions. And if it's something you really want to explore more, I'd encourage you to go to your local library and or find out about those persons who have dedicated their lives to this. Do you know, when someone is wanting to go into this arena of specialty to find out about the meridians of the body, how to work if you're into acupuncture, working with those very fine needles, or acupressure, it takes years. I've had a few clients that I've known for a long time, and they went in to the training facilities for this and the disciplines regarding the learning of this area of expertise is quite intense. So if you get to find someone who is really knowledgeable with acupressure, it can really assist on so many levels. It's just absolutely a wonderful system for wellness. And again, it all depends on the practitioner, but if you can learn something for yourself, you will be able to help yourself. And that's why I wanted to share it today. Now, it's very simple. Acupressure means that you press with your fingers on certain key points of the body. It can heal in the sense, heal pain many times. And the scientific research regarding this says that it works a good 97% of the time when it's used. Now, a lot of us automatically, when we feel uncomfortable, we're going to do this without even realizing what we're doing. But here are some things that I've got some information on, and I thought I would pass it along to you. Now, taking the fleshy pad of your thumb or your fingertip or even a pencil eraser, what you do for acupressure, you apply constant, steady pressure in a rhythmic, circular motion to the area for about 15 to 30 seconds. You repeat it using the same point on the other side of your body. Now, this is specifically with acupressure. Now, what if you've got a stuffy nose? What if you really just are having a terrible time with it? Maybe you've got a bit of an allergy or something like this. What you do is you take your two forefingers and you press them right into the groove on the side of each of your nostrils. Now, if you do that, the reason that it will work, the pressure when you press there activates a particular nerve. And it's the nerve that brings sensation from the face to the brain. And it causes the cells in the sinuses to contract, opening up the nasal passages, and it'll help you to breathe easier. Now, the American Journal of Rhinology says that it's so efficient that 99% of acupuncturists said they successfully use it to treat sinus and nasal symptoms. So it's just right there, and you can tell a difference when you're talking, when you're pressing on either side of the nostril. That's it. Now, cravings. Are you like me and you get cravings sometimes for food? And man, especially if you haven't eaten for a long time, you just don't know what to do. Well, if you'll press the front of your ear, with your forefinger. Now, what it does, it slows the movement of food through the GI tract, which suppresses the appetite. Now, there's a neurologist, Tarvez Tucker. He said if you'll follow the curve of your outer ear up and over until it ends just above the flap in the front of the ear, they found that overweight subjects who received this kind of treatment on the AcuPoint significantly lowered their body mass. Boy, would that save you a lot of money for weight loss. Migraines. Oh, my goodness. I've had so many people suffer migraines. Known of so many people suffering migraines. I've got a dear friend. She's had them ever since she's been about 9 years of age. Pressing your temples. I've done that at times. And when you're under a lot of stress, pressing the temples often relieves it. And if your eyes are feeling fatigued after working on the computer, anything like that, this could probably help quite a bit. Now, why pressing in on the temples work? And again, you just press with the forefinger. They say migraines happen when there's too much blood flow through the blood vessels in the brain. Applying pressure to the temples lessens the blood flow there just as well as prescription medicine does. But unlike medicine, which constricts blood vessels all over your body, acupressure, only works at the site. That's what it does. It affects the site. Patients that they did the experiment with regarding acupressure and its effects with them had 22 fewer days of headaches a year. So, again, everybody's individualistic and everyone may respond differently, but I know when I have a lot of stress or pressure in that area, I automatically, even before I knew acupressure, I would go in there and just press the temples and it would just give me such relief. Such relief. So that is something that you can do very easily. Back pain. Who would have thought that pressing the crease behind the back of your knee would work for alleviating back pain? Well, what it does, the acupoint in the middle of the knee in the back, when you press that, it boosts circulation along the spine, releasing blockages, pain-causing blockages. Now, Gina Lepore of the Pacific College of Oriental Medicine in New York is the one that made a comment on this. And she said, when researchers compared acupressure versus physical therapy for back pain, 89% of the patients found acupressure was more effective. So isn't it wonderful to know that there are these things that you can do for yourself? I think it's terrific. Anything that empowers us to have a feeling of wellness or make us aware of what we can do for ourselves really is a plus. So those are just a couple of tips that I wanted to share with you today so that you can utilize them if necessary. I wouldn't wish you a headache or, you know, a sinus congestion problem of any kind. But if something does occur, and let's say you might have a cold or the sniffles or something, just go ahead and try it. It's not going to hurt. It's safe. You can't harm yourself, and it may give you some of the relief that you like. Okay, have that pad of paper, a pen, and handy, because here we go with a creepy crawler pizza. I found this, and I just thought, if you have kids in the house, it would be just so much fun for them to do this. Now, you're going to need two packages of frozen cheese pizza. This is how simple it is. Frozen cheese pizza. And they weigh about 20 and a half ounces each. You need one package, a 26-ounce package of frozen curly French fries, four hot dogs or a sausage of your choice, whatever kind of meat you'd like to put on there, the equivalent to four hot dogs. You need two-thirds of a cup of pitted ripe black olives, two-thirds of a cup. Two-thirds of a cup of pimento-stuffed green olives, that's two-thirds of a cup of both of those olives, and some ketchup. I know you may say, Donna, this isn't really heart-healthy stuff. This is Halloween, for heaven's sakes. But everybody, really, there's really not that all that much wrong with any of this here. And how often are you going to fix this for yourself? I don't think, but just on Halloween. Anyway, what you want to do, you want to get your racks in your oven, upper and lower third of the oven. You want to preheat your oven to 400 degrees. And then place your pizzas on two pizza pans or one large baking sheet. And what you want to do, you want to take your fries and you want to put them on a separate baking sheet. And what you will do once the oven is preheated, believe me, it has to be preheated for sure. Otherwise, you're going to have soggy pizzas. So what you want to do is wait until it gets to that 400 degrees, and then you're going to bake your pizzas on the lower rack and the fries on the upper rack until they're hot but not crisp. So you're going to cook for about 12 minutes. While that's going on, you can cut a hot dog in half crosswise, quarter each half lengthwise. Arrange your hot dogs, your fries, and your olives on top of the pizzas. And moms and dads, you're probably going to have to do this. If the kids can get all of the ingredients assembled, that's really, really great. And you just want to go ahead and just put all of the stuff on top of those hot pizzas. Bake until the pizzas and the fries are crisp and hot dogs are curled and browned about 10 minutes. And, of course, if you slice the green olives with the pimento in them, then that'll give you more of those goofy-looking eyeballs coming at you. And then for blood, squeeze ketchup on the top of the pizzas. Ugh. But anyway, it's going to taste good. The kids will love it, and it'll just be a lot of fun. It's just going to give a unique twist. I know we're going to be going to a gathering tonight. I'm not going to be taking pizza. I'm going to be taking one of my specialty desserts, but that's beside the point. That's just a lot of fun. We're going to be taking a break here, and we're going to listen to, we're going to have a little bit of ghoulish music. We are going to be playing a piece called The Black Cat. It's item number 2 on Dr. Elmo's Halloween CD. So we'll be taking a break here for just a bit, and we'll be back in a moment or two. So don't go away.
Beware, I'm one big bad black cat. And scaring you is where I'm at. You're litter if you cross my path. Tonight is Halloween. Wicked witches are riding high. Slimy things are oozing by. But I'm the one who makes fur fly. Tonight is Halloween. Ghosts are in the garden, ghouls are on the loose, but I can make Godzilla look like Mother Goose. My claws are out tonight, somebody stole the clippers. You will be my sofa, I'll be your Jack the Ripper.
You can terrify your neighbors to get your trick-or-treat. You can dress up like a werewolf or some other fiendly beast. But don't you get too frisky or you'll be my fancy feast. Night is hollow, fear is gonna follow. Night is Halloween.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756. We're going to go to our first caller. Welcome to the show, and happy Halloween to you.
Thank you, Donna.
Where are you calling from? May I have your first name or initial, please?
Sure, my first name is Frank. I'm calling from California.
Where in California, Frank?
In Corona.
In Corona. Okay. All right, Frank, let's get down to business right away. You've got some real important shifts that you're moving into. I'm intrigued with this because you've been working quite hard, Frank. You really have decided that you're ready to make a commitment. That's the word that is coming into my mind. When I'm looking at the word commitment, I'm seeing you having three aspects of commitment that are very important to you. And I would say one is professional, the other is the personal, and the third one is a dream, a desire that you know is going to take you about 3 to 4 years to accomplish. And I give you credit because you are a man that has learned the hard way, you might say, to really look at what you can control and what you cannot control, and you are not causing yourself any more stress or anxiety than necessary. Now, as I'm watching these next 2 months, your strategy for looking at a new career venue is a good one. It may take you a little bit longer than that to actually make it come into positioning. But don't be discouraged by what I'm saying. Just use it as a marginal measurement so that you keep yourself on course, because you're really doing a lot of things right. And I don't want you to not reach for what is important to you. There's also going to be a level of education that is going to be brought into the forefront for you, Frank, and you're going to be a little concerned about it because you may feel like it's going to cost you more than what you are in a position to take on. All I ask you to do with this is to be wise. See if you can work out something, maybe break the process of the certification training down in such a way where it's more manageable for you economically. Open up your communication with people, let them know your concern, and they may have some ideas for you. But you've got a lot of work ahead of you. I think the year 2009 and 2010 involve a lot of dedication, a lot of concentrated effort, and I think the result by 2011 is going to be outstanding. You're going to get some brownie points along the way, but you're really going to work for everything, Frank, that comes into your space. I don't see any fairy godmother waving her magic wand over your head, but believe me, you will gain tremendously from everything that you do. What's on your mind, Frank? What did you want to ask me about?
Yes, I wanted to ask you about my brother. He just passed. His birthday was July 9th, 1959.
All right. What's your brother's first name?
Irving.
Well, I'm not picking up a whole bunch on Irving. What I'm looking at is an image in my mind of a runner. And I'm looking at him garbed in the running shorts and the T-shirt, and it seems like he's got something on his back, but like a number or something like that, but I can't see what it is. And it's as if he has set a goal for himself, and he's ready to really get into it. I think that your brother felt very frustrated much of his life, that he wasn't able to get accomplished what he wanted to get done. And I think that what is happening with him at this time, he is setting some objectives, and he really, really is going to go for them. So even though your brother did not finish something that was very, very close to his heart, he's not dropped the ball. I don't know if that makes any sense to you or not.
No, I didn't see him for the past 15 years. I tried looking for him. I thought he passed on earlier, but anyway, he just passed last weekend.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that he is really about something that means a lot to him. If you have not seen him for 15 years, what you need to know is his life was not wasted. He accomplished certain things, but not to the degree that he wanted. So I think, though he's passed on, that there is so much that he is really going to get into. I believe that you're also going to have a series of four dreams regarding your brother, where he is going to let you know about what I am mentioning at this time. I have no idea what his objectives are. All I know is that I'm seeing him dressed up and ready to run for what he really wanted. I don't think he felt like he could, that he could accomplish it. It's just as if the circumstances were such that it just wasn't going to happen. But it is going to happen on another level for him because he's going to make it happen.
Great. Donna, thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, Frank. How did you learn about the show?
I've seen the show, and I've heard about you that you're very good and you're very difficult to get a hold of, and you're always busy.
Yes, I am known for being busy, but I always make time for people. I really do. And so I'm so glad you called in. Be sure to let your friends know about the show.
I sure will.
All right, Frank. And by the way, don't feel as if you failed your brother. You have not. Don't feel like you have failed him at all. You have not. Whenever he's in your mind, just let him know that he's loved and that you wish him well in whatever he does. I think there's going to be some level of communication where he's going to let you know about what it is that is so meaningful to him.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome, Frank. Have a good Halloween now.
I sure will. Blessing, love, and light to you.
Thank you, Frank. Same to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
This is Donna Siebel. Hey, give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. Oh, by the way, yes, we're going to end up with one more Halloween goodie from Dr. Elmo before we close out, but that's not just for a few minutes. I wanted to share something with you about a wonderful organization called UNICEF. Now, UNICEF is a global organization, and Trick or Treat for UNICEF, well, just about everybody knows about it. If you've been around kids at all, you'll find many times they're out there raising money for UNICEF. Well, it started as a local event in a Philadelphia suburb in 1950, and by 1952, the enthusiasm for doing this on Halloween just exploded. And what this involves is the distribution of small boxes by schools, and often there are sponsors like Hallmark and some other big companies, to trick-or-treaters, in which they can solicit small change donations from houses that they visit. So people will give them nickels, the quarters, the dimes, whatever, maybe throw in a few dollar bills. Do you know that the children, since 1950, they have collected more than $119 million for UNICEF? Isn't that incredible? Kids are amazing. But that, it's just with little nickels and dimes and quarters, and they just go out there and collect it. Now, I've learned that UNICEF in the year 2006 discontinued their Halloween collection boxes in various parts of the world. They were concerned about safety, and there was other things that go on. You know, there's all these little odd events that occur that change things sometimes. But regardless, children have been doing this, and UNICEF, that is how much money they have collected since 1950. That's a few dollars worth of change, isn't it? By the way, do you know that on Halloween there are certain games played in certain parts of the world? That's right. They're there. But you know what? We're running out of time. So I'm not going to be able to tell you about those games. But that's okay. This is Donna Siebel. Remember, always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. We're going to be playing Grandma Just Rode Over via the Broomstick. Enjoy your Halloween. We'll be back bright and sassy. Same time, same place, right here on BBSRadio.com. Bye for now.
Grandma just rode over by a broomstick.
for our happy family Halloween. You might say there's no such thing as witches, but Grandma on a broom is one bad dream. We were throwing an incantation. She flew in and what a sight. She had stopped her medication, and it was gonna be a long, long night. She was trying out new dentures. They were going clickety-clack, and we could not help but wonder, should she try to glue them down or send them back?
Send them back!
Grandma just floated over by her broomstick for our happy family Halloween. You might say there's no such thing as witches, but Grandma on a broom will make you scream. How she disses my poor daddy, who she says Ma shouldn't have wed. She wanted Ma to marry a baker, or at least someone who makes a little bread. Now I know this might sound cruel, but I simply gotta say, underneath her bright blue hairdo, looks like Grandma's had a bad nose day. Grandma just rode over by a broomstick. I was kinda sorry I was there. You might say there's no such thing as witches, but when Grandma's on the broom, she's a nightmare. Grandma just rode over by a broomstick, like she does on Halloween each year. But Grandma's got me praying for reindeer. Hasta la vista, Granny.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.